If I were to ask you, are you a very patient person? What would you tell me? Most of the time when I ask that question, people usually kind of get that, I'm not a very patient person. We live in this world of instant everything. If we want something, we want it right now. We don't like to wait for it. As I think about this, I often think about back when I was younger, and I would remember there would be something on the cereal box that I wanted, and then I remembered I had to eat about 50 boxes of Captain Crunch, and you had to cut these little things out, and then you would send it in, and it would say, well, it's going to take 6 to 8 weeks. Well, to a child, 6 to 8 weeks might as well be 6 to 8 years. And then when the thing finally showed up, generally you had already forgotten about it or were disappointed in what you got. But the bottom line is that particularly in the world we live in, we're just not very patient people. Well, today we want to look at another characteristic of our Lord and Savior and look how we can be strengthened as well through the strength of patience. So grab your Bible, come on back. We're going to be looking at James chapter 5. Once again, it's James chapter 5, the strength of patience. I'll see you in just a second. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We're so glad that you're joining us for Bible study this evening. A moment ago, I mentioned that we're going to be looking at passages that come out of James chapter 5. So go ahead and turn on over there in your Bible with me if you would. Now, in our fast-paced world, patience is often seen as a virtue that is hard to cultivate. Yeah. However, the book of James presents patience as a great strength, especially in times of trial. Now, today, we're going to delve into James chapter 5, particularly verses 7 through 11, to understand the power and the necessity of patience in our Christian walk. So I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at James chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading at verse 7, and it reads like this. It says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the earthly and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Verse 10, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, we once again ask that your Holy Spirit would provide leadership and guidance in our hearts and our lives, particularly according to your word and as we walk in your word. Father, I pray that you will help us to take an evaluation of our patience and Lord, see it from a biblical standpoint, that we might truly have a biblical worldview when it comes down to the quality and the characteristic of patience. Lord, may we truly emulate your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, as always, I ask that you would bless me as your messenger for these moments, that you truly would be lifted up and that you might draw all men unto you. As Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we look at this particular passage, what I usually like to do is just ask some questions. Questions that are usually asked when it comes down to a scriptural passage. And then we work to answer those questions based on what the scripture has to say. So one of the first questions that we usually get out of our text today is, what does James chapter 5, particularly verses 7 and 8, say about why we should be patient? Okay, so in James 5, verses 7 and 8, it speaks about being patient until the Lord's coming. It uses the example of a farmer who waits for the land to yield its crop, and it's emphasizing perseverance. Now, I don't know about you. Some of you out there are garden planters. Some of you have grown up since childhood planting and cultivating a garden. Some of you may not have, but you've been able to at least observe those who do. But when we look at this particular text, it suggests that patience is not passive, but active. Now, you understand what I'm saying when I say the difference between passive and active. When you're just kind of passive is just sitting around there waiting, whereas active means you're pursuing something or that you're doing something. So the text suggests that patience is not passive, but rather active, requiring us to maintain our faith and hope in God's promises that He has given us. Just like that farmer works and he waits for the harvest, believers are called to actively endure and keep faith in anticipation of Christ's return. You know, I've thought about that many times, and for the past several years, I've had a little garden that we take care of, and you know that it takes patience. You go out there and you prepare the soil, so it takes some work, it takes some effort. Now, you realize that's not passive. That's something active that you do. You go out and cultivate the soil. Well, then if you're like I am, you'll buy the little plants, say tomato plants or pepper plants, and you'll plant them in that soil. And for me, the nice part about it is I'm not doing it from a seed, so therefore I'm not just sitting there staring at the earth waiting on something to happen. The plant has already brought forth some growth that I can observe the change and the growth in it as time goes on. But along the way, there are certain things you got to guard for. You have to make sure it's watered. You have to make sure that the bugs aren't chewing the plants up. You got to keep the deer out of them. So it's an ongoing active effort as you watch these plants and you anxiously await the day that the tomato plant produces a tomato or the pepper plant produces a pepper. Okay. So how do we think about that particular concept and make application to it in our daily lives? Well, in our daily lives, we can be patient by trusting in God's timing. Boy, I'm going to tell you one thing. That's a tough one. That's a whole new sermon for a completely different day. But you know, we've got to wait on God's timing. Sometimes when we get in our circumstances and situations, we feel like we have to be so proactive, and too often we wind up getting out ahead of God. You know, sometimes God tells us yes in our prayers. Sometimes God tells us no, and sometimes God tells us to wait. And boy, we have a tough time doing that because we want to be there now. That's just the society that we live in and the fast-paced world that we live in. But yet, you know, we can be patient by trusting and waiting for God's timing, especially when we're enduring trials and tribulations and challenges that come our way. And if you're serving the Lord, I will make you a promise. There are trials, tribulations, and challenges. And I know most of you probably said, yeah, I can attest to that. Here I am. But we must keep working on our spiritual growth, like that farmer who is tending those crops, knowing that God is going to bring about a good harvest in His perfect time. You know, for me, I would love to go out there and put my tomato plants in the ground and then, you know, water them and put a little fertilizer on them, and then the next day go out and have me a nice red juicy tomato all ready for a tomato sandwich. But that doesn't happen that way. It takes time for that plant to be cultivated. It takes time for that fruit or that vegetable to grow into its maturity and then be able to be consumed with joy. So it takes time. It takes, guess what it takes? It takes patience. That's exactly right, something that we don't like. Well, let's look at another question that's often asked when it comes to our biblical text today. And another question is, what example does James give us in verses 9 and 10 to illustrate patience? All right? Well, James points to the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as examples of patience in the face of suffering. We know many, many times as we've read throughout, particularly the New Testament, and even in the Old Testament, the prophets who went through persecution and those particularly like the apostles who were martyred for their faith and martyred for what they believed in. And as they went through many of these trials and tribulations and suffering, they had to wait on the Lord to deliver them. And man, I'll tell you, if you're like I am, and I mean, I'm confessing to you today as well, you know, when I'm in the middle of things like that, I tend to squirm a little bit. And I know that you do too. Let's just be honest with one another. When, you know, we want something to happen and we want it to happen now. You know, if we're in the middle of a trial or tribulation, we want it relieved yesterday. We don't want to wait and see what the process is. And often that distracts us from looking toward the Lord and what it is that He is trying to accomplish in our lives through the times and the trials and tribulations that we're going through. Now, we need to be patient, and we need to look at what it is that God wants to do. You see, the prophets endured hardships and persecutions, yet they remained steadfast in their mission. They never deviated from the mission that God had placed them on. Their patience wasn't just waiting, but it was marked by enduring suffering faithfully. That's a key word. They endured suffering faithfully for the sake of God's truth. Now, what about you and I? Now, oftentimes, what happens is when we find ourselves in those trials and tribulations, we start to look to blame God. Lord, where are you? How come you're not doing anything? And our patience is very, very thin. I mean, we, you know, and instead of trusting in God's plan, too often what we do is we start to somewhat turn against God and wonder, where are you? Why are you not showing up in this situation? But we're not waiting on His time. So how do we apply that to our walk today, what we just learned as far as this question? Well, when we face trials, we should look to the prophets as role models. Their endurance inspires us to be faithful. It inspires us to be patient as well, knowing that our temporary suffering has a greater purpose in God's plan. In fact, that is what is written in the scriptures, our temporary suffering. Now, as we do that, God's teaching us something along the way. We need to be looking for what it is that God is teaching us, and we need to kind of take that deep breath and relax and not get like the cat that's just running around the house in a panic. And sometimes that's what we do when we're facing trials and tribulations. You know, we start going into what I call Tasmanian devil mode. We start spinning around, and we can't even stop to evaluate anything. We need to take that deep breath. We need to relax in the Lord, and we need to sit back and say, Lord, you know what? You know I'm suffering. You know what the circumstances and situations are, but the problem is, Lord, I want to learn what you want me to learn through this trial and tribulation so that I can come out on the other side of this a much better Christian for you, okay? What's another question that we see based on our text in James chapter 5? Well, in James chapter 5, verse 11, there's something that James does. He highlights the result of patience. This is something that we need to grab hold of as well, because often we don't sit back and think about what is the outcome or what is the result of our being patient, particularly in the times when the Lord's doing some incredible things in our lives. Okay, so James chapter 5 verse 11 refers to Job's perseverance and what the Lord finally brought about for him, emphasizing that God is full of compassion and that God is full of mercy. Now, when we look at the example of Job, that illustrates that patience and perseverance in suffering can lead to experiencing God's compassion as well as God's mercy. See, it reassures believers that their struggles are not in vain, but are part of God's compassionate and merciful purpose in our lives. Now, most of us know the story of Job. You know, it was one of those situations where, you know, Satan went to God and he said, you know, look, man, I'm just kind of wandering around to and fro. And then God even said, have you considered my servant Job? Job walked with the Lord. Job was one of those guys who was I would call him a spiritual man. If you read the text, it will tell you that Job was the kind of guy who prayed and sacrificed for his children just in case they had sinned. Not for the ones that he knew about, but the ones he didn't know about. He said, well, you know what? Just in case my kids have sinned, I'm going to offer up a sacrifice to the Lord for their forgiveness. So he had a great family life. Job was a guy who had some wealth. Everything was going good for Job. And then, of course, Satan goes and tries him, and Job is victorious. And Satan goes back and says to God, he said, God says, hey, what did you think about my boy Job? And God says, well, hey, Job's not going to turn his back on you because, I mean, you look after him so closely and you won't let me do anything to him. Well, God said, okay, well, I'll tell you what, you can do anything you want to Job except take his life. Now, I'll tell you one thing. I don't know about you, but I think that's a really broad area and a really broad field that I certainly would not want to be in those shoes. I mean, think about what all Job went through as we get that example. You know, and if you look at it in the context of the written word, Job's life was going really good, and then all of a sudden a messenger comes and says, hey, man, you know, your family's gone. You know, your children have died. And you'll notice it says, and at the same time that messenger was there, another one showed up with more bad news. And then a third one showed up with more bad news. It just hit him all at once. Now, the question is, if that happens in our lives, what would most of us do? The answer to that is most of us would just fall to pieces right where we are because we're too busy evaluating what we've lost instead of looking towards what it is that God is going to do in our lives. And folks, listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that's easy. That is something that is very, very challenging to do, particularly in the midst of the situations and the circumstances. And Job, all along the way, had to have patience. If most of you have probably either used this statement or you have heard this statement where somebody said, man, that person has the patience of Job. Yeah, even Job's buddies were coming to him and saying to him, well, Job, you know what? You must have sinned, and that's the reason why all this has befallen you, because you've done something wrong. If you repent, then God will forgive. And Job took an honest assessment of his life, and he said, no, that's not what it is. And he stood by his guns along the way. Now, his three friends were wrong about, you know, saying, hey, this is what you had done. But I always like to say this when I'm talking about these particular passages in Job, and I'm talking about Job's three friends. First of all, I want you to understand, man, I admire Job's three friends because at least they were there. They were ones that cared enough about Job at least to be there for him. Even though they were wrong, you know, they were sincere, but they were sincerely wrong. But the interesting part about it is what God did for Job when he came through the trials and when he came through the tribulations. You know, I love that scripture that says, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Now, Job was mad when he made that statement. He was mad at God. And some of you have been as well. Maybe you're in the midst of that right now, that all the things you're going through, you're mad at God. And Job basically was saying in that particular verse I just mentioned, basically what he was saying is, I'm going to tell God how I feel about this, and if he decides to kill me, what have I got to lose? You know what? I'm still going to serve him, but I'm going to tell him what I think and what I feel. By the way, it's okay for you to express your heart to the Lord. If you're upset, it's okay to express that to God. If you're angry, it's okay to express that to God. As long as you continue to worship him, as long as you continue to trust him, no matter what. Okay, so you know, when we look at Job, it should be reassurance to believers that our struggles are not in vain, but yet they're all part of God's compassionate and merciful purpose. We know that at the end of it, God gave Job back tenfold what he had lost in the midst of that trial with Satan. See, we can find motivation to stay patient in our trials, trusting that God will ultimately bring about his compassion and his merciful outcomes. We have to think about the end. We have to think about what it's going to be like when we get through it, and we need to patiently seek him. Remember, I said stay active, not passive. And when I'm saying stay active, I mean continue to seek him and allow him to bring you out on the other side of the trials and tribulations. See, this encourages us to endure, knowing that God is working behind the scenes, and he's doing that for our good. He has given us those scriptural promises that what he does, and even the situations in life that we don't seem to understand, that seem to be tough concerning trials and tribulations, he's telling us once again and reminding us that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. So there's some greater plan that God has in your life when it comes down to those trials and tribulations, and as we're patient through them. So as we think about our scripture text today, you know, what biblical truth emerges from this study today? And what actions can you and I take as we go forward? Well, one of the biggest biblical truth that we can understand in this is that patience in the midst of trials is a strength empowered by anticipation of the Lord's coming. And it's reinforced by examples of those who have faithfully endured before God. You see, God's he rewards patience with his compassion and with his mercy. And folks, let me tell you, when you have the Lord's compassion on top of his mercy, man, you've got a whole bunch of stuff taking place and a whole bunch of stuff going on. You know, when we think about patience, you know, oftentimes people will say to me, well, I know that I'm going through some trials and some tribulations, and I'm just going to be praying for patience. And preacher, I want you to pray for patience for me as well. And I usually will answer that question or that comment by saying this: you better be careful what you pray for, because you might just get it. And sometimes I'll get a strange look, and I'll say, you know what? How do you become good at something? You know, if you want to become a good musician, how do you become good at it? If you want to become a good ball player, how do you become good at it? Well, the bottom line is you practice. I've told people, I said, one of the things that in my lifetime and through my walk with the Lord that I'm very careful about is I don't pray for patience. What I pray for is God's wisdom and His mercy along the way. I'm praying, God, give me wisdom, because if I'm sitting there saying, Lord, I'm not a very patient person and I want you to give me patience, God's going to say, okay, well, here, let me give you some practice. And the more you practice, the better that you'll get. So I hope that you're picking up that particular concept along the way. Be very careful that if you start asking God to help make you a patient person, He's going to throw a whole lot of things your way that you are going to have to practice the quality of patience to be able to get through it. The more you practice, the better you're going to become. If you're like me, I think I'd rather pray for wisdom, because I realize how weak I am in the area of patience. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I think every characteristic and quality that we have should be worked on. But you know what? If I'm in the middle of a circumstance and I'm asking God to give me wisdom, then God's going to say to me, you need to be patient in this situation and realize that there are some things I'm working out that are for your good, that are for your better. And I know sometimes that's really, really hard for us to see, depending on what the circumstances and situations are. But I will make you this promise, that according to God's word, every ounce of it is true. Every tear that falls, every heart that breaks, God knows. He sees it, and He is there, and He wants to do something incredible with it in your life. So what are some things that we can do? You know, as we sit back, I have always said, it's not enough just to have head knowledge of the Bible. What is it that the Holy Spirit has put on your heart today through this Bible study? What is it that He is showing you that you can do along the way? So there's an action step that you and I can take. This week, I'm going to ask you to identify an area of life where you feel impatient. Some of you already know what that is. Some of you, the Holy Spirit has already placed on your heart what that particular area is. Some of you may have to pray about that a little bit. But this week, identify an area of life where you feel that you're just very impatient. Now, I'm going to ask you to write down some specific steps that you can take to cultivate active patience. Notice what I said, active patience. And you know what? That could be something like prayer. It could be reading of scriptures. It could be researching the situation that you're going through in God's Word and seeing what He has to say about that. Or finding an accountability partner, somebody that's going to hold you accountable in that area, and somebody that's going to tell you the truth. Somebody who's, when you share with them and you say, hey, look, you know, I'm really struggling in this area. I don't have a lot of patience in it, and I'm asking you to come into my life in this area for this journey, and I want you to hold me accountable. And you need to find somebody that's going to do that, somebody that's not just going to give you a pass and agree with you when you let down, but somebody who's going to sit back and say, well, hey, you know, were you patient in this area? And you go, oh, yeah, and then they look at you and say, you just lied to me, didn't you? Somebody that's truly going to hold you accountable in your spiritual growth in the area of patience, okay? Can you do that this week? You know, share this journey with someone who can encourage you to remain steadfast. So the accountability is not all just about making sure you're staying the journey, but it's also a cheering section for you, somebody to walk with you through that and to give you the attaboy when an attaboy is needed, but to give you a little chastisement when that's needed as well. So remember that. I want you to really try to work on that this week, because all of us can identify areas in our lives where we just have impatience. You know, I can think of one in my life right now. I am an impatient driver. I'm impatient with the joyous drivers that are around me who cut me off and, you know, jump in front of me only to slow down or do, you know, crazy things. I'm impatient when I'm in restaurants and those sort of things. And you know what? I'm doing better with that. I really am. And part of the reason why is because I'm often reminded by the Holy Spirit that those people that I am becoming impatient with, they probably have a lot of things that are going on in their heart, in their life right now. They're dealing with a lot of things as well. They have a story that I don't know anything about, and I need to be patient with them. And instead of being a discouragement to them, instead of impeding their life, and instead of being an old grouch, I need to be a person that, as the Word tells us, that lifts up our brothers and sisters, that's encouraging to them. And can we do that this week? You know, work on yourself, but also work on those that are around you, being that person who is a cheerleader for those who are dealing with things and those who are struggling with things along the way. I hope and pray that you will take me up on that challenge as we go forward. And I'm going to ask the Lord to do that here in just a moment. But for right now, I want to go ahead and share with you what we're going to be looking at as far as scripture readings for this week. And that way you can be prepared for next week's Wednesday Bible study. But this week, what I want you to do is I want you to spend some time studying Matthew chapter 18. Now, some of y'all are saying, well, I thought we just did some stuff in Matthew 18 before. We have, but there's a lot of stuff in Matthew 18. So I want you to look at and study Matthew 18 as well as Colossians chapter 3. Okay, so Matthew 18 and Colossians chapter 3. Next week, we will continue our series on developing Christ-like character as we look at our fourth sermon in the series of embracing forgiveness. And it will come out of those scriptures that I just gave you. So I hope and trust and pray that as God has dealt with you today, that he's done so and either giving you some encouragement because you're doing well in the area of patience, or maybe if you're not, the Lord has pointed out some areas that you can work on this week to make them a permanent part of your life, not just for the moment, but also for the future as we continue to go forward. So let me have a word of prayer with you. We'll dismiss our time today, and I look forward to seeing you here next week for the Wednesday Bible study. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the fact that you never leave us, you never forsake us, and that each and everything that happens in our life is a part of your plan and part of your purpose for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that we will understand as we evaluate what's going on, that we will truly wait on you to give us guidance and to give us direction along the way, that in each and everything that we say and do, we might magnify you. Father, I pray that you will help us to guard against becoming upset with you or blaming you for circumstances or situations, but rather we might truly take on the attitude of Job, that no matter what, I'm not turning my back on my Father. And then, Lord, as our patience grows and our patience stretches, Lord, that will happen as we see victory that you will bring about in our lives. May we truly be examples to those that are around us. And then, Lord, may we be an encouragement to somebody this week who just needs a touch of your hand. Lord, they just need to hear an encouraging word. Lord, they just need to know that as they fight the battles that are going on within their hearts and lives, that somebody there is cheering for them to have victory. Lord, help us to be that person. Help us to be your voice, your hands, your feet, whatever may be needed along the way. And Lord, we'll praise you for it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, again, I want to thank you for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I want to personally invite you to join us. Our services start at 10:45 on Sunday mornings, and we do have other means of discipleship throughout the week. We have Sunday school classes. We've got some ladies' small groups. We've got some men's small groups. We have Awana for the kids. Just a lot of different ways that you can be discipled and that you can learn from His Word. And if you happen to stop by, please introduce yourself to me. I would love to have an opportunity to meet you on Sunday morning, and I pray that I will see you in the house of the Lord at Central Baptist on this coming Sunday morning. God bless you. Have a great week. Take up the challenge and shine for Jesus.